and who knows everything about you. Could he be the Messiah? Could he be Jesus? The woman had come home and told everybody what she experienced, her testimony. What Jeff just experienced right now was her testimony, or his testimony, was his own personal encounter with God that changed his life. How many likes to have an encounter with God that changes your life? This woman had an encounter with God, and she went home to the village where she lived, and she told them. And as a consequence, they met with Jesus. But earlier that day, it was like any other day. And for some of you, today may just be any other Sunday. She went to the well called Jacob's Well to draw water, a duty she had to do probably every day or every other day, with a pitcher and some skin at the end of a rope she threw into the water. It was probably 20 or 30 or 40 feet deep. She went in the hot time of the day, in the noonday, she went there because nobody else was around that day, at that time of the day, because it was hot. But she went when it was hottest because there was nobody there to talk to her. You see, this woman was a social outcast. This woman was a nobody, the invisible. She had broken the moral code, the moral law. She was a reject. So she knew that if she went at noon and drew water, there would be nobody there to backbiting her and criticizing her and giving her the cold shoulder and talking bad about her. So she went there thinking that nobody's going to be at the well. But she got to the well and there was a man sitting. And he looked tired and he looked thirsty. But he looked like he was a Jew. And she was a Samaritan. A Samaritan don't talk to Jews. Jews hate the Samaritans. And no Jew will walk through Samaria there unless they had a special appointment. Praise God for that little baby out there. I love, how many believe that God loves little babies? Thank you, Jesus. And there was Jesus. You see, in that culture, a male never talked to a strange woman. In that culture, the Jews avoided Samaria because they felt they were half-breeds. And so a Jew never talked to a Samaritan. But Jesus got up and he walked across where she was sitting, where she was standing. That's another baby. Praise God for that baby too. And asked her for some water. Can I just say something? I'm standing here today because somebody had the courage to walk across and say, Hans, I heard you don't believe in Jesus. There was a Marcus. What's his name again? Max? Max, not Marcus. Max. Max confronted Jeff. And says, where are you at with God? How many believe that Christianity is all about inviting people into a relationship? But it takes somebody to have the courage to walk across and talk. And Jesus knew everything about this woman, and he knew why he was at that well at that time, at that particular day, and that particular hour, because that woman was going to be there. He said, give me some water. And she snarly turned around and said, I think snarly, it sounds like that to me. He said, you, a Jew asking me, a Samaritan, for water? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. And he said, if you knew who was asking, You'll ask him for the gifts of living water. There is a shift in the conversation from natural water to spiritual water. And she says, you have nothing to draw with. How can you give me living water? How can you give me water? Are you greater than Jacob, who built this well and watered his cattle and his family and generations from that? Are you greater than Jacob? And he didn't answer her, because he is greater than Jacob. And he said, this water that you drink here will make you thirsty again. But the water I will give you, when you drink that water, you will never again be thirsty. My friends, we need water. 65% of your body is water. 70% of an elephant is water. That's why it's so big. Tomato, 95% of the tomato is water. That's why you have to eat lots of tomatoes. Life on earth requires water. Fresh water. But many places in the world there is shortage of water. And Middle East is one of those places. Water is precious. Without it, life cannot exist. But there is something more, my friends. And that's what Jesus is getting at in this place. You see, it's not enough for water for your body. But you need water for your soul. Your soul needs to be quenched because it has a thirst of its own. Your soul has a thirst of your own. That causes people to run and do things trying to quench the thirst. But many times they find in the world it will not quench the thirst. And this woman is an example of that. And Jesus says there's something that you need for your soul, that if you have it, it will change your life. Jeff had an encounter with God that his soul encountered God and gave him satisfaction that he had never had in his entire life. How many says amen to that? This woman said, give me that water. I don't have to go here every day and haul water. She still thinks about the natural water. She hasn't quite got the picture yet. Some of us haven't quite got the picture yet. But Jesus is gentle and patient, helping us to lead us to that place. So he said to her, good. Go and get your husband. And she said, I don't have a husband. She wasn't going to tell him about her lifestyle. She told the truth, but only part of the truth. And Jesus said, because he knows everything. He says, I know. I know you don't have a husband, but you've had 5 husbands. I shared that in a Bible study once. And a lady said, oh yeah, I'm just like that. I had 7 husbands. And the man you're with is, you're not married to him. Now Jesus, when you come to him and encounter God, he exposes your sin. But you know how he does it? He doesn't call you your name. He doesn't ridicule you. He doesn't mock you. He exposed it for one reason and one reason only. It is for the redemption that is coming to her. Jesus knows everything. God knows everything. Jesus knows everything. But why in the world would she have five husbands and now living with a man who is not married to her? What was going on in her heart? I tell you, there was a cry in her soul to experience love, unconditional love and acceptance. To find in the arms of somebody that she would find acknowledgement, affirmation, and peace. But no man could give her that. No earthly thing could ever give you that. And I suspect the last man didn't want to put a ring on her finger, because he was embarrassed about her. He just used her for his own purpose, is my guess. But in the midst of that, her soul had no peace. Jesus says this. He says, if you're thirsty, come and drink from me, and springs of living waters will flow where? From within. He was talking about the Holy Spirit that was to come. David says, I think it's Psalm 42, as a deer pants for water, so I thirst for God. There is in David's heart a place where you can drink, where your soul can be filled with peace. David writes Psalm 23 and says, for the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, for he makes me lay down in the green pastures beside the still waters. He restores or refreshes my soul. The soul is geared and wired to encounter God. Your soul will never have peace until it encounters the truth of God, until your soul knows that it's known by God. Jesus says in John 17, he says, eternal life is this, it is to know God. Hallelujah. So the woman says, she's embarrassed. So the woman says, well, we Samaritans worship on this mountain, and you worship in Jerusalem. In the temple. And Jesus says, a time is coming when you will not worship, need to worship on this mountain or on the mountain in Jerusalem, where you'll worship him in spirit and in truth, because he's looking for somebody who would worship him in spirit and in truth. He's looking for somebody who will worship him in spirit and truth. We don't have Jesus in physical form here today, but we have his Holy Spirit with us. And when the Holy Spirit gives us an encounter with God and the truth says in that Jeff said, I now know that Jesus is real. It's completely no more a question. His worship is a worship in the Spirit. How many likes to worship in the Spirit? I mean, honestly, some of you who come in here, maybe first time today, you will think we're crazy. We raise our hands, we dance and clap and sing to some songs. And Paul, he goes, da-da, da-da, da-da. Some people clap, and my wife put up her hand, thinking, what's she doing? But when the Spirit flows within you, it just becomes a natural thing of what you do. Because God is here in the Spirit. And when you begin to open your mouth and your hands, you begin to engage with God. Not physically, but spiritually. comes knocking on your heart. So she said, well, when the Messiah comes, he will explain it all to us. He'll explain it all to us. And then comes the moment of revelation, of encounter, that will forever change her life. He says, I'm he. Ooh. You got to be kidding me. I'm standing in front of Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. In that moment of revelation, my friends, she was saved. How many believe that being born again is from a revelation of who Jesus is and what he has done? She puts down her jaw. What about her jaw? The very thing she came for was to fill this jug with water. And she put it down, and she just couldn't help herself. And she ran to the village and told them, I have just met somebody who knows everything about me. Could that be the Messiah? And they decided, not the women, but the men, decided to follow her. The women didn't like her. I'm just making that up. But the village got curious because of her testimony. They got curious. I pray that some of you, because of Jeff's testimony, will get a little curious. Could that be for me also? And they go out and they meet with Jesus, and it says in John 4 that they no longer believe because of what she said, but because of what they heard themselves. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we are heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Do you know Jesus didn't have to go to Samaria? Most Jews didn't. But it says that he needed to go there because he knew that there was a woman sitting at that well who was lost, who was broken, and she needed an encounter with the truth. And she became the first evangelist recorded in the Bible. Who did he choose? Who did he choose? A broken, scorned, rejected woman whose soul had no peace. And because of her encounter, the whole village ended up meeting with Jesus. Amen. Are you ready? Are you ready to let your witness and testimony shine? Are you ready to let down the jug? You see, her physical need was that water, but she discovered that her spiritual need was met, which was more important than any physical need ever. Some of us live for the physical needs. We live for our daily needs. But God says there is something more for you that has eternal value. And it is for your soul to find peace with me. Amen. So, normally, or sometimes, we sit around tables. We're not going to do it today, but I left in your bulletin some questions. And I encourage you to talk to someone about those questions today. You see, what happens is you hear something. But only as you actually talk about it with somebody, it often does not affect you or change you. Amen. I'm here because somebody was bold enough to say to me, Hans, I heard you don't believe in Jesus. One of my heroes in the faith is a lady called Joyce Meyer. How many has ever heard of Joyce Meyer? You don't have to be around Christianity for too long before you heard about Joyce Meyer. Joyce Meyer was abused by her dad. She grew up in a horrible situation. But when she was 9 years old, she went to see her cousin. Her cousin lived in a country, and their parents went to church, and she was looking forward to go to church. But that Sunday, there was lots of visitors, and the parents thought, well, we don't need to go to church tonight because we have all these visitors. And she said, I want to go to church. Okay, we'll take you to church. Went to church, and she expected that after every sermon, there was an altar call. But that Sunday, he didn't have an altar call. So at 9 years old, she grabbed hold of her two cousins, and she dragged them to the altar. And she said, Pastor, how can I get saved? And she prayed the sinner's prayer, just like Jeff did. And she felt clean for the first time in her entire life. But she said she walked home, and the next day they played some games, and she cheated, as kids often do. And adults. And then she felt horrible. And she felt she left, that somehow Jesus had left her. And if you know her story, it goes really bad. Like, she ended up marrying, just like this woman, she ended up having a marriage that was really bad, abusive. She go bankrupt. But she had this sense that God was still there. And one night she cried out, says, Lord, send me a man who could help me live a righteous life. Because her lifestyle was far from honoring God. At the same time, there was another man whose name was Dave. Says, Lord, send me a woman whom I can help. And they met when she was washing her car. And many years later, she encountered the Holy Spirit powerfully. And it changed her. I don't want to talk any more about her story, except to tell you that through these encounters that she had, she's probably now the most known woman evangelist that the world has. Probably reached more than Billy Graham. But it was an encounter at a well with God. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come. You know, when Jeff shared his testimony, he took a risk. Do you know what risk he took? Then you think he's crazy. And he is. But do you know why he took that risk? Because he believed that the very encounter he had, others can have. He invited his mom. He invited his friend. Because he believed that what God did to him, he can do to others. Somebody risked sharing the gospel with me. Because what God had done in their lives, they believed they could do in my life. So we're going to end the service with this song, and then the altar is open. And if you say to me, Hans,